Well, good morning, church. We are in quarantine day 9,634, it feels like. But just wanted to take some time this morning for our online gathering just to do something that's just a little bit different. Instead of a message from me, what we wanted to do is give you a little bit of an update about something that happened in February. So when we started Invitation in the fall of 2016, it was really important for us that we had an opportunity as a bunch of people who have given their lives to Jesus, that we actually have opportunities to live out what that means, both locally and globally in the lives of other people. Words are hard, okay? Globally, there you go, in the lives of other people. And so part of our desire, part of our strategy for that is to partner with organizations who are already doing meaningful work locally and around the world. Around the world, because globally, it's hard to say, it's too many syllables. And so one of those organizations that we have come alongside is Loganov Alive, and it is a organization that serves the people of Haiti. It was started by Bruce and Sharon Bloomer, who are a part of our community, live in T, South Dakota. And so every year we have an opportunity to send a team to serve alongside of them and to really serve the people of Haiti well. And so a couple areas of emphasis or of focus for us with Loganov Alive is food distribution and being able to serve the elderly and children and women who are in need. That's a huge need in Haiti. And then also we have the Rob Marchand Education Center. It's a school in Loganov that is an opportunity for kids from all over the place to get a good meal and get an education and be cared for by the staff there. And then there's also a clinic, a medical clinic. And so kind of those three emphases are kind of what a Loganov Alive is all about. So this past February, we had a team who went to Loganov and served there for the better part of a week. And so we wanted to give you an update about their trip, about what they got to experience, what they learned, how they were shaped, and also to encourage you. And so we were hoping to be able to do this in person, but that's not really possible right now. And so we did record a Zoom interview. And so we're gonna play that for you now. And it is our hope that it would encourage you, that it would give you a bit of a picture of what Invitation is up to locally and globally. And also that you would pray about maybe the next time a trip comes up, an opportunity for you to go serve in Loganov, that you would really pray about that, that you would consider being on our next team. And we don't really have a date for that right now, just because of everything going on in our world. But it'd be an opportunity for you to serve in the name of Jesus in Haiti. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks so much for jumping on this call to talk through a little bit about Loganov Alive and your experience in Haiti. I would love to begin just by having you introduce yourselves and just talk a little bit about kind of what your typical day looks like. I know very different now because of all the COVID-19 stuff, but Bruce, we'll maybe start with you and just have you introduce yourself a little bit and talk about kind of some of your day-to-day and your connection to Loganov Alive. That'd be really great.
Sure. Well, I'm Bruce Bloomer, and I'm a vice president for development and communications. And so things have changed dramatically over the last couple months. Fundraising has taken an interesting turn as people are not employed and kind of hunkering down a little bit. My life is now, I've been relegated to the basement. My wife works upstairs and I'm now working in the basement, which is probably a good place for me. And doing a lot of these, a lot of Zoom calls, doing a lot of communication in different ways. My connection with Loganov Alive is that it's a ministry that my wife and I started five, 6 years ago. Kind of began in 2008 and then formally became a nonprofit in 2013.
That's awesome. Nicole, you want to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you get to do?
Yeah, so I'm Nicole, and I am an occupational therapist here in Sioux Falls. So I'm one of the essential healthcare providers, and we still get to go into work right now. So I work at an outpatient center with kids, just doing all sorts of different pediatric therapy. And so my day still looks pretty similar, just a little bit more more cleaning, more mask wearing right now, but long 10-hour days working in the clinic still.
Okay, awesome. Christy?
Yeah, my name is Christy Jones, and I'm an attorney here in Sioux Falls. My day looks pretty similar to, maybe a little different. We're still going to court. We're still, you know, working, still doing things like that, wearing masks when we go, trying to do more telephonic stuff, trying to do more Zoom calls, and distance a little bit, but pretty similar, and we're still going to court.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. Well, Christy, could we just have you talk a little bit about how your interest in Haiti and your connection with Logging Off Alive, just kind of like how that started? That'd be awesome to hear about that.
Yeah, so I first got introduced to Logging Off Alive, obviously, through Bruce Bloomer. He talked to me about going to Haiti. I was on a board with him, and he just kept on talking about things with Haiti and how they had this ministry there. And I think I just got more curious as he kept talking, and knew at some point I wanted to go. That was always on my heart, and I had been looking at going with a couple of other different ministries. And then, you know, finally Bruce and I had a conversation, and I just said, you know, I kind of want to go with you sometime. And he's like, all right, we'll go in January. In February, do you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I do. So just kind of out of the blue and random, but super, super thankful that I went. It was really fun.
That's great. Can you talk a little bit about what your experience was like? Maybe the biggest surprise for you, or maybe there was a way that Haiti and its people proved you wrong, or just kind of reflect on your experience a little bit for us. That'd be great.
So I think the first couple of days that I was there, I kind of was just processing and taking a lot in. It's such a different culture. The culture shock is definitely a word that kept on coming to my mind. I had never been on a mission trip before, and so this was my first experience. And the really cool thing about Laganab is we didn't stay in a separate compound. We were in the city living with people, you know, right next door. So you get to be kind of in the heart of the city. And so I think the first couple of days I was just kind of processing and taking things in. You know, everything was so different. You know, the way people, you know, kind of watch you as you walk by because you're the only white person they have seen in a long time, or, you know, the amounts of trash, they just don't have the same infrastructure that we do. I think that was a huge surprise to me. I think that, you know, just seeing the poverty up close and personal was so different that it just took a while for me to kind of process things and to think through, like, okay, what's going on and what's our purpose here and what are we doing? I don't know if you want me to keep going or.
I wonder a little bit about, you know, your, obviously, like, your day-to-day, like, your work is very centered around and justice and advocacy and all of that. I wonder how, you know, your perspective here impacted your experience. I mean, have you reflected on that at all?
Oh, for sure. So I was talking to Bruce about this a few weeks ago, actually, and I think, you know, one of the biggest things, I think we as Americans have this idea that we're going to go in and we're going to help, and we're going to, and those are good ideas, that's a good thing, but, you know, I kept on thinking through, you know, what's the answer, what's the fix, how are we going to solve these problems that they're facing, and, you know, I think that's a very American attitude, and I think there's some utility to that, and I think that's good in some capacity. But the longer that we were there, the more I just kept on understanding that it's less at least from my perspective, for me, it was less about giving them the fix and more about building the relationship. That if Haiti is going to have any sort of hope or fix, or how are we going to change these, you know, poverty ideas, that it really comes through relationship, and it's not going to be us that are coming in and fixing it. It's going to be building them up and having the Haitians, you know, create the things that further their people. So I think that that was a big thing. You know, we want to come in, we want to see things done quick. We want it to be, let's go. But it was just so apparent to me, like, we don't have the answers. And the longer I was there, I understood less, it felt like. And so, you know, it just seems it's such a unique place that, as far as that sense of justice that, you know, I work with every day, I think it has to come from the people. And that's something that you have to build in the people. You can't just give it to them. It's got to be a relationship building thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks so much. Nicole, you want to just share a little bit about what led to your interest in Haiti, and then just reflect a little bit about what the experience was like for you? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so I have always kind of been interested in doing different mission trips, and after high school I was able to go on my first mission trip to Ukraine, and then through grad school I was able to do more of a medical based clinic type trip to Guatemala. And so it's always been on my heart to continue to find new opportunities for this. And so when Bruce, you know, announced it in the church, actually, when they were announcing about the first trip, I really wanted to go, but we had moved to Arizona. And so I knew right when that trip was taking off in May of 2019 that I was going to sign up for the very next one. So I just knew that I really wanted to do that. And I was really excited that they speak Creole, and that's similar to French. And so I was excited that I could use some of my prior French knowledge to muddle my way through. The experience was fantastic for me. It was kind of, after being in Guatemala, I reflected and compared it a lot to that. It was kind of what I was expecting as far as like the poverty, but I was very surprised, like Christy, about the trash and the lack of infrastructure there to take care of that, and just seeing like goats walking down the street and pigs eating the trash in one pile and then wandering to the neighbor's yard and eating their trash. So that was very interesting. And then another thing that really stuck out to me, I think, is as I think back now, is just that the kids were so interested in just getting any attention from us. So just first of all, they were excited about us being a different skin color, and so they wanted to feel our skin and pinch it and see how it changed colors and like look at our moles and just like pet our hands and arms. And so they really just wanted to touch and connect with us, which was really cool. And so that kind of surprised me, because that was totally different than I've had in other experiences. They just were, there wasn't really boundaries. They just wanted to be right there and have our attention, and they would kind of fight over it, but in a very like interesting, like they were interested in us and wanted to spend as much time as they could with us.
Yeah, I'm curious about, you know, your day-to-day work, which has some similar components to Christie's as far as advocacy and providing services, you know, to people and families. I wonder, like, how you thought through your experience there in Haiti in regards of, like, how you spend most of your days here in America. Have you reflected on that?
Yeah, I have, and I think I see kids with challenges every single day. And so sometimes I get frustrated with kids who haven't gotten services until later on, and they could be so much further along if they would have had services earlier. And then I get frustrated with, you know, there's families now that can't provide for their family, like their children, and give them everything they need. And so that's frustrating here, but then you go to Haiti and that's the situation in most families, is that these kids are kind of on their own a lot. Not that the families don't love their children, but the kids are definitely a little bit more, they have to be more independent or lean on each other. And so to see that that's just like the standard there, kind of reminded me just how well we have it here, even that are like our families that really struggle, they still have so much more as far as resources available to better their situation. And so I think just seeing that and seeing, you know, and down there, that's just something they wouldn't be able to do.
Awesome. Bruce, will you talk to us a little bit about your experience? I mean, you've been once or twice before.
A couple times.
Yeah. So I'm curious about what your experience was this time, and maybe one or two moments that you reflected upon that have really stood out to you, and maybe a little bit what it was like for you to have Christy and Nicole on the trip you, and just what some of that. So yeah, reflect on that a little bit for us.
Yeah, you know, I think kind of going back to what Christy had said before, I think most of us go on trips because somebody asks, or you know, you wear them down until they finally decide that this is something they would be willing to do. My first trip, someone asked, the pastor asked if I'd jump along, and that was in 2003. Then my second trip was in 2008. And that's where, that was my first trip to Laganov, and I really got hooked on Laganov. I just fell in love with the people, and lots of things happened, like we were there during the earthquake, and that really just kind of cemented my connection to the island, and so it's just really grown from there. I would say my favorite thing about traveling is traveling with first-timers, because I love seeing the island and Haiti through their eyes and their experiences and their questions, and I get to relive that same excitement and same questioning and same processing that I did for myself many times. And so I enjoy that as much as anything, is just kind of hanging out with first timers and listening to their perspectives. And they both Christy and Nicole are inquisitive people, and I think they felt like almost guilty in a way about asking questions, but I loved it. I loved their inquisitiveness and their perspective. And I would agree with Christy. I think the more, I think this was my 15th trip, I think I feel like, and sometimes I know less every time that I go. And one of the things that I really try to push with everyone and myself is that we don't live here. You know, we come, we shoot there for a week. We, you know, do some fun things and maybe some good things, and then we leave and then we're done. And so I really try to just like say, try to understand it under the lens of we don't live here, and we aren't able to understand completely what they're going through. The fun part, just of, I would say with Nicole, certainly got more interested in the medical part of it. We didn't have the same experience that we did. She got to do a little bit, but not as much as we expected. We basically hung out at the school. And Christy, both of them just did a great job with kids and hung out with kids a lot and really got connected to kids. As I say a lot of things because I sort of forget sometimes, but I just say, you know, over and over and over, I try to say to people, don't worry about what we get done in the week. Be worried about connecting with kids and with people. Because that's the experience you'll take away. I mean, whether we get a room painted or don't get a room painted, or if we haul some block or don't get a block, it makes no difference. In the end, it'll get done. That work will get done. What's most important is that you build relationships with people and try to find out and understand what they're going through. So that's always kind of the I guess the fun part for me is just living through their experiences and seeing what they've gone through. And honestly, I'm so amazed at how the school turned out. It's just so well done. You know, I was looking back at a video that Caleb did in May of 19. So, you know, under a year ago, and the second floor was just a bunch of beams, and it's just like, wow, you know, we have a roof and we have the rooms are almost completed. It's just shocking to me how, and really just a belief in miracles, really, because, you know, Invitation has come on as a great partner, but just the number of people that have jumped in to make this a reality is just way beyond ever what I could ever expected.
That's awesome. Something else that I'm just wondering about for Nicole and Christy, if you guys could speak to this a little bit, you know, just how your experience in Haiti, how the people in Haiti have impacted, shaped, or maybe deepened your perspective on Christianity and who God is and his kingdom and all that. I think anytime you get out of your normal rhythms and step into a different place, you know, we talk about, you know, as God is the God of the nations. And so one culture doesn't have the ability to adequately express praise and worship and glory to God. Like, we need all of the nations together, all the tongues, all the tribes, all the peoples. And so I just feel curious about how your experience among the Haitian people has impacted your perspective on that. Christy, could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I actually, when you're talking about that, that just reminds me when we went to church, and when Bruce first told us it was going to be a 3-hour service, I was like, oh boy, 3 hours in Creole, I can't do this. But it was beautiful. You know, I didn't understand most of anything, but it was beautiful, you know, and just to hear them sing songs that we knew, you know, some of our praise and worship songs that we knew, but singing in Creole, just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, and that it is every tongue, every tribe, every nation. And I just think that was so impactful on me to be able to worship with people, even if I didn't understand the language, to be worshiping the same God with the same songs that we sing, just sounding different. And then I think generally more broadly for me personally, it was interesting to me that I came back to my life and the things that mattered were different. You know, I think that we can get involved in so many things in our day-to-day life that we get stressed about or anxious about or try to control. And when I came back, it just seemed like, all right, that's not that big of a deal. You know, things that I would have probably gotten wound up about before, I was able to let go a lot easier, where it's like, okay, that in the big scheme of things, that's not that big of a deal. You know, that's not a kid who can't eat today. You know, that's not trying to figure out some crazy logistic that we don't have the funds to do. You know, it just made all of the things that we think are problems, it changed my perspective on, you know, what actually is a problem and how blessed we are here and the things that we have, because you've seen the other side where they just don't have the same things. So I think for me, that was a big strengthening of my faith in saying, all right, this is not that big of a deal. So that was my personal takeaway from that.
That's awesome. Nicole, how would you reflect on that? How did the people of Haiti impact your perspective, your understanding of Christianity and who God is?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this, and especially now in this time where we're uncertain and, you know, everything's changing from hour to hour as far as, you know, if we feel safe or if we can go here and there. And I've just been thinking more about the people of Haiti and how they, if this even hits them on the island, like, they don't have a way of dealing with this, and what we're living in now, the uncertainty, is something that they live in day to day. They don't know if they're going to have food tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to have food for a week. And so just thinking about that and the fact that like the stress that we're starting to feel now is nothing compared to what they live with, but then at the same time seeing them in church or just how thankful they are for just to be able to see us some days or to talk to us or to have us buy a piece of artwork from them, like that is so meaningful to them and they are so thankful and will openly share with you like how blessed they are to have whatever it is provided to them. I actually got to talk to a couple of young girls and they were talking about how blessed they were to be able to go to some English classes and how thankful they were for everything that God's provided them. And they're just like, their faith is so strong, even when they have nothing. And so I think about that now, especially as we start to, yeah, worry more about, okay, are we going to be able to having continued income? Are we going to, how long is this going to last? You know, am I going to lose people I love? And just thinking and reminding myself that that's something that is an everyday thing for them. And so it just kind of reminds me to be more aware of other people around the world and other cultures where they don't have the opportunities and resources that we do. And so, kind of takes me away from worrying about myself and starting to think more about, okay, I have so much, how can I give more? And how can I continue to be faithful where I am at right now? Because these people live a much harder life than I do, and they continue to be faithful and be thankful for everything that they do have. So reminding myself of that has been, it's kind of been something that pops up in my mind often.
Yeah, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking about, you know, in the scriptures when Jesus is talking with his disciples and with the crowds, and he, you know, says, you know, whoever has ears, let that person hear. And I think there are some things that you can't unsee. You know, you can't travel to Haiti and unsee the poverty, unsee the difficulty that people live in every day, the weight of what they carry emotionally and all of that. And so I think that's hard to process. I think it's hard to go to a place and to see that. But I also think that has like a shaping effect on you. Like we pray differently now. Like we have an opportunity to pray differently now than we maybe did. And so that's the part of the gift, is that we can be united with those people through prayer, I think is a really beautiful thing. And having the gratitude that like, okay, God, thank you for the gift of not losing sight of what I've experienced, that I cannot unsee this, that this has shaped me. And I think that's the power of relationship. I think that's a really neat thing. Bruce, will you kind of share a little bit? I mean, I know you've been so many times, and I know, you know, when you look, you know, back on your life, the moments that have really shaped how you view the kingdom of God and your life with Jesus, it's going to be impossible for there to not be a Haiti bucket when you have that conversation. But I'm just curious on how the Haitian people have impacted how you see God and his kingdom and all of that.
Yeah, let me just start with, you know, what you pray for is what these two women just shared. I mean, you hope that people come away with this sort of reset, saying, how can I view my life differently? And so I would say if two people could come out of a trip as well as these two, all of our trips would be great. You know, what I reflect on is when I listen to scripture now, and I don't always do this, but I try to put it in the context of how would other people view that. And I just think so much of scripture was written for them. You know, until you can walk to church in dusty sandals and you really need your feet washed, that puts it into context differently. Or all the scripture about hope, you know, our hope is different than their hope. And, you know, for them to look for a life beyond life of no pain and suffering. And I always look at the elderly people that come to church. And first of all, I wonder, like, how do you grow old here? You know, we've really reflected on my family. And, you know, to a person in my immediate family, probably all of us would be dead. We've had medical things that are serious enough in the United States, not serious enough, but serious enough there, that our likelihood of being my age right now would have been very low. And my parents' age for sure in the 80s would have been, you know, zero. And so, you know, I'm always shocked and amazed by that. But I'm always humbled by their depth of faith and how within what we see and how you know, their depth of faith is just amazing to me. And that they truly care about each other. One of the things that has always shocked me is just how they share other things. And maybe this is, you know, getting into an area that you didn't want to get into, but, you know, that how they share with each other. And we give them some food and they share it with each other. You know, you give them candy, and the first thing you do is they hand it to other people. Or you give them balloons, and the first thing they do is they give it to a group of people. And I'm like, if I was starving, if I ate once a day or once every other day, I just don't know how I'd share that granola bar very well. And yet you give them and they break it off in pieces and hand it to their friends. And they're like, holy cow, you know, what can we learn about, you know, kindness? And what can we learn about our ability to share our resources? And what can we learn about what taking what God has already given us and using it for good for the world? So I think they were kidding when they thought, you know, worship services were 3 hours. So if anybody complains about Dave going wrong or long, I should say, you just back off, because it couldn't be 3 hours, seriously. And it is always amazing too, is like, it doesn't seem like 3 hours. It just, the music is great. There's always a passionate preacher that you get very little out of, other than the passion for Christ and the passion for God. And that translates in any language.
Yeah, as you were talking, I just, you know, that image I think is so beautiful of receiving a granola bar and, you know, breaking it off in two or three or five pieces for people around you. Just, and thinking about community and how in America, community is scheduled largely. You know, it's an event on our calendar or on our phone, or, you know, this reoccurring, you know, meeting we're having. And I think one of the ways that Haiti helps us is understanding that that's a pretty shallow perspective on community. It's much closer to the gospel and the kingdom just to take what you have and to share it with people around you. And I just think that's, when you've shared that before, that's just where my mind has gone on how Haiti has a lot to teach us about what community really is and what it really means to be together and to bear one another's burdens and to carry the weight that sometimes is crushing on a daily basis. So I want to also talk about a little today, you know, what does, kind of last question I was thinking about is, you know, what else does Haiti have that we need in America? I think a lot of times we talk about going to another country, and Christy, I think, said it so well, that like, oh, we're bringing encouragement, we're bringing hope, we're, you know, and it's easy to have that perspective, to live as though, you know, like we're somehow bringing the Holy Spirit in a backpack to somewhere else, and he's already there, he's already moving. And so when we step into those places, whether it's stepping into a meeting with a family like Nicole does and talking through what the issues are, or stepping into the courtroom like Christy does, like we're catching up on the conversation God's already having with people. But I think it can be really helpful to share that conversation with people who weren't able to jump on the plane and ride in that bumpy boat ride all the way there. So I'm curious,
Nicole and Christy. Maybe we'll start with Nicole. Like, what would you say that Haiti has that America needs? Not in like a consumeristic way, but how can we learn from, benefit from the Haitian people and how they live their lives and exercise their faith?
Well, I think you were talking about it earlier. For me, one of the big things that stands out is just that living in community. There would be kids every night that would come into where we were staying. And I was just like, where are these kids coming from? Like, you don't know who's siblings and who's friends. And, but yet the adults that were around would all kind of take care of each other's kids and just kind of, it was kind of just everybody helps everybody. And so that was cool to see that shared responsibility at times, and that just shared community, really. And then another thing I think that sticks out to me is that although you see in some of them the despair and the just the sadness, I think for the most part, all the people that I interacted with, what I noticed most was the joy they still had. How much joy the kids had to just get a soccer ball from us to be able to play soccer. Like, they were so, or with bubbles, like just bubbles, and sharing the Legos with them. Like, they were so joyful and just wanted to connect. And so I think that's something that I'm starting to see now as we're forced into this world of social distancing. I see more people wanting to have that connection. And that I think that's something we're not always aware of and thankful for on a daily basis. But to remember and try to be joyful in all the times that we go through, because when they have nothing, they still find things to be so joyful about. And so I think that's probably a big thing for me, is just seeing that joy that they still have, and not necessarily stress. You don't see the stress that we have here.
That's awesome. Christy, what would you say about that?
I kind of agree with Nicole as she was talking. You know, the thing that was so apparent to me was they joke around a lot. They are a very, they're funny. You know, they're always wanting to have a good time. They're very kind people, but they just like to have a lot of laughs. And you would think that that's weird because, you know, they don't have some of the things that we have. They don't have the luxuries. They don't have, you know, running water in some cases, or definitely no air conditioning, or, you know, some of the things that we think, oh man, I need this to be happy. Or, you know, even the little kids, they are playing soccer with no shoes on in rocks, and they are just like light beams, you know, they're just so happy. And just this spirit of the joy, the spirit of happiness, the spirit of, you know, kidding around, and they're just fun people. And that was everybody from the little kids all the way up to the adults that we hung out with. You know, the guys that would sit down and play cards with us at night, and, you know, we didn't always understand what language we were saying, or, you know, the words that were being exchanged, but, you know, they just wanted to be there and have fun. And I think that lightheartedness is something that I wasn't expecting, because I was expecting it to be a little harder, you know, because they don't have some of the luxuries that we do. But, you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter to them. They just wanted to have fun and to be there with us, to enjoy time with us, to get to know us. And so that was really cool. And that's where I talked about, you know, coming to the realization that this really didn't have anything to do, or very little to do maybe, with what I could give or what we could give or what we could do. It was really about being with them and building that relationship, learning who they are, and having them learn who we are. And I think that that was such a big key to me, and to be able to just be there and to laugh with them. And it was fun. They're a funny people, that's for sure.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking about Richard Foster has this book, Celebration of Discipline, and it's a book about spiritual disciplines. And so, you know, we think about prayer and scripture reading and, you know, different disciplines, giving and all of that. But one of them that's listed in the book is celebration.
Yeah.
Like the spiritual discipline of celebration. And, you know, as you were talking, I think that's a really beautiful thing to remember about the kingdom, that we have this lavish God who has lavishly given love and grace and mercy and provision. And to be able to live in that place of like the knowledge that like God is good to us here, even in the midst of the darkness and the brokenness and the pain, and to hold on to the hope that is coming, to be able to celebrate in that space. Like, how does that happen for you? Like, how, like what has to take place in your heart and your soul and your mind to be able to get a nice big like belly laugh, you know, not a courtesy laugh like I get on Sunday morning, but you know, like a real true man, like that comes from a place of joy, knowing that you belong in God's kingdom. And so I think that's, man, that's such a good word for us. Bruce, anything that you would add to that?
Yeah, you know, I would just say it's there, you know, it's not a perfect country. Men do a pretty good job of parenting children, but not, or of fathering children, but not parenting them. And it's a very competitive society. They are difficult on their children at times. And so it isn't a perfect place, but they're very passionate people and very funny. On the last boat trip, these two guys were just absolutely going at it. I mean, just screaming at each other. And then and one of the team members nudged me and I go, it's either politics or soccer. So I yelled at him, so what is it, politics or soccer? And the guys go, it's politics. I mean, they're very passionate about soccer and politics. But what I would say is I was glad that they understood that, you know, that Christy and Nicole and the team understood just how funny they are and how much they enjoy each other and enjoy being with each other. I guess the thing that I was reflecting on is the word gratitude. One of the first nights, I think the first night we were there, we put together the clothes that we brought over. We bought some rice and beans and bagged them up, and we handed them to the elderly people and women. We found out it's honestly better to give things to women than it is to men, because they care for their families better and care for those around them better. But a woman the next day, an elderly woman, had taken one of these pods off of the trees. Inside the pods were some seeds. And she took the seeds out of that and put a little bag and handed me this bag of seeds in gratitude for the food that we had given them. And it was pretty neat, just that, you know, she really just said she was grateful for what we had given them and wanted to give us, me, something back in return. And it's what she had. And so I brought that bag of beans back. Don't tell anybody illegally, but I brought it back as a reminder for me, because gratitude is something that we need to have more of.
Can I jump in too? Bruce, tagging along with that, we had, and Nicole, I think you got one too. The little girls at the school also wanted to give to us, as you know, what they had. And so they all had these little plastic rings, and they gave us all these little plastic rings. And I felt very bad for taking them, because this was obviously their adornment. But it was important for them to give that to us. So they made sure all of us girls had these little rings on our finger, that were just these plastic rings. And it was really sweet that they wanted us to have something. So it's just a very giving spirit that I was surprised at, but it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a really sweet thing. I wonder, as we end, Bruce, could you just maybe, for people who are watching, who are listening, and maybe this is their first time hearing about Loganov Alive, and they would love to be able to get more information and to partner with you. I'd love to kind of have you share where they could go to get more information on the ministry and partnership. But then also, if you could just speak to kind of the two projects that are happening right now with food distribution and with windows for the school, kind of what those financial needs are, because there are probably people watching and listening who would love to give what they're able in order to partner with Logging Off Alive. Could you just share about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd be grateful to do that. We, you know, find us on Facebook, or we have Logging Off Alive, and if you don't know how to spell it, you know, email Dave or I will send you the link to it. I'm a little better of keeping Facebook up to date than I am our website, but that's where you can find all the information, our donate page and things like that. But we're finishing the second level of the school. Right now we have grades 1 through 5 in a principal's office. And so there's 5 rooms on the first level, 5 on the second level. And we got to do a little bit of painting. They're finishing the floors right now. And so the need is really is the windows. And so we have 15 windows. I did get a donation yesterday for 2 of them. So we're down to 13 windows that we have left. They're $150 for a window. They're metal windows, metal framed windows and barred windows that they are with shutters in them. So that's what we need to really finish the second level of the school. We have money for paint. We have money for the floors, all that's in. It's really just the windows. And the other big need, obviously, is food. We have gotten connected to Kids Against Hunger, which is a meal packing program, and we just received a large shipment of food packets. Because of the mess that's going on, we are not able to prepare food. The government officials said we cannot do that, but we are giving out packets of food. And so we're, to our staff and the students and people in the area, we gave out 50 boxes of food this week. And so, you know, food is a big need. And so helping with transportation of food is always helpful for us. We get those donated, they get moved, shipped to Haiti, but then we have to go to Port-au-Prince to pick them up. And it costs about $400 every time we go and get a shipment, which is crazy, but that's what it costs us. And so, so that any help with the food distribution, you know, $25 helps defray that those costs and makes a huge difference. So those are our 2 biggest needs. We do have a long-term dream. If somebody has a big, you know, big paycheck that they don't know what to do with, we'd like to do a reverse osmosis system at the school. We can sell water, clean water on the island. That would actually be a revenue generator for us. So the number one, which is we have to buy water for the school right now because we can't purify it. And so we'd like to have purified water for the teachers and the kids at the school. But we could also sell that water. And so we could purify it, put it in containers, and then sell it. And then that ends up being a revenue generator. It's about $11,000 for the entire system. So that's something we're going to chip away at. Nicole is actually working on a couple of videos. One of them is sort of the sequence of the school. We broke ground in 2017, and in 2020, you know, the school's done. It's just, I was going through all these pictures, and Nicole was brave enough to say she'd lop off a video for us. And so can't wait to kind of see the progress of the school. And then a little bit of kind of a promotion video. Caleb did one of those last year, but it's amazing how dated that is even a year from now. So it's kind of the school complete and some other things. So we're hoping to drop a couple of those around so people can get more information. But definitely, if you have any questions, reach out to Dave or to me. You know, Dave can connect you. If you're not sure how to connect to me, Dave can get you the information. We'd love to have a conversation about how you can become involved. We try to do a trip every year in that February timeframe. Obviously this year we're concerned about what would happen or how, you know, how that trip will happen this year. But we are hoping to have another team go down in February of 2021 and bring one team a year. And that's about what I can get away with. So please do reach out. And if you have questions about the ministry or what a trip is like, you know, Nicole and Christy are great people to connect with. And then we have other people that have gone in that Invitation Church that could also help answer some perspective for you.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll put, when we post this video, we'll put all that links in the comments. People can find you. And I just want to say a couple of things. First, just thank you so much for having this conversation. I feel really hopeful and excited for how the Lord's going to use this conversation for somebody, and Haiti's not even on their mind, on their radar, and then they're going to open this up, and all of a sudden it's going to be. So thanks for your willingness, not only to serve the Lord by investing in the people of Haiti, but also the way that you can continue to advocate for this island nation that's so close to our heart and God's heart.